This gospel passage of the presentation of the Lord in the temple has always struck me with regard to the obedience of Mary. Jesus did not need to be presented to the Lord in the temple because he is the Lord. But in obedience, Mary fulfilled the law. And I think this feast really speaks of the beauty of Mary and the dignity of women in general. Mary is the image of all of humanity. She is immaculate. She is pure, holy, beautiful, gentle. And yet we also believe that this woman is also one of the strongest women that ever lived. The trials and the hardships she endured are above all others. At the foot of the cross, she did not run away, but she watched her son die. And she didn't try to tackle or kill the centurions who were trying to kill her son. That's pretty impressive for a mother. She is one of the strongest women to ever have lived. She is a woman of compassion, of mercy. She intercedes for us. And so we honor her first and foremost because she was receptive to the divine. She was receptive to the divine. There is no human being more receptive to our Lord than the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we strive to be like her, to receive the divine, to be one with him, to bring him to the world. And thus, every woman is called to know her dignity, rooted in a very true sense in the Blessed Virgin Mary. Every woman is to know that she is beautiful. Every woman is to know that she is called to rejoice in her femininity, to rejoice in her receptivity, to rejoice that she is a child and daughter of God. And I have to say, I think this whole concept has gone astray today. Because I think we are at a very low point in femininity. The feminine movement did many, many good things for the way that women had been treated. But the feminist movement, I think, went a little crazy. We went from saying men and women are equal to saying that men and women are the same. But you see, when we say that men and women are the same, we no longer have femininity, beauty, dignity, and worth. So we treat women worse today than before the feminist movement. Do you know what the goal of a teenage or young adult woman is today? Two words. She's supposed to be hot and available at all times. Hot and available at all times. And so consequently, her dignity is stripped and her body exposed for all. That's the goal. And at the heart of it, you find more and more women broken, hurt, damaged, and feel utterly alone. The great gift of femininity is what Mary is, namely, receptive. Isn't it true that women are 1,000 times better than men when it comes to listening? They're receptive, so women have the gift to bring someone else into their life and become one with them. And this is why when children are hurt, they tend to go to a woman, their mother or their grandmother or their aunt. That's because women are receptive. And look at the professions that women have thrived in for centuries. Nursing, healthcare, teaching, counseling, where they are receptive and they bring someone into their heart and they sit with them and they comfort them. They're present to them. That's the gift of femininity. And it's what our world hates about women. Because our world says that women need to be strong and everything but feminine, in the truest sense of femininity. The world hates reproduction. What has our world mastered in the past 50 years? That women can be men. What do I mean by that? Only a man can enter the sexual act and not get pregnant. In the past 50 years, the world has mastered contraception and abortion to make a woman able to leave the sexual act and not be pregnant. We hate fertility, which means that we hate femininity, which means we don't really want women to be women anymore. So the greatest gift of receptivity has been stolen from women. But her longing for it is still there. This also means that her great gift to receive is also where she gets most wounded. Her desire to be fulfilled by another leaves her susceptible to be used by another over and over and over again. You see, women long for affection. They long for affection. They long for a true relationship, yet they will settle for attention. They try to gain the attention of a man, and she settles for it, when in reality she's yearning for his affection. And then she'll be hurt, and he'll leave, because there was no affection. There was no love. There was no sacrifice. There was no commitment. There was no faithfulness. But what it sets up for her is a pattern to be repeated again and again and again. To be hurt by a man who does not give affection, but just gives attention until he's ready to move on to the next person. I love being a priest. You all know that, I think. I love hearing confessions. I've added a lot of confessions since I've arrived here. But I have to be honest with you and tell you that confessions here, since I've arrived, have changed for me. Because in my previous parishes, I was in parishes where there were traditionally elderly people. But now I have young ladies in particular who come in. They confess sins of immorality, and they do so coldly, as if to say, this is what's supposed to happen to me. This is just my life to be used, to move on, to seek to fill the void and emptiness in my heart. It's sad. Very, very sad. And yet, the beauty and the dignity of a woman is so good. And it's found in the symbol of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And a woman's body is caught up in all of this. And if you don't believe it, just go to the grocery store in the checkout aisle and look at the magazines. Every woman's body is too fat or too skinny or too tall or too short or too blonde or too brunette or too tanned or too white. Everything about a woman's body is absolutely wrong. And yet the church says, your body is beautiful. It's awesome. It's good. It's to be cherished. It's an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's holy. Several years ago, at World Youth Day, Pope St. John Paul II said, dear young people of the world, you are not defined by your failures or your sins or your temptations. You are defined by the fact that the Father loves you and by your capacity to receive the Father's love and to be an image of Christ to the world. What defines who Mary is? Her capacity to receive the Father's love and to be an image of Christ to the world. Many women judge themselves by their failures and their sins, and not by the fact that she is a child of God who is loved first and foremost by her Father in heaven. So what about us men? St. John Paul II says this, the duty of every man is the dignity of every woman. The duty of every man is the dignity of every woman. My brothers, we've been fooled. What is the largest grossing entertainment industry in the United States of America? It's bigger than the NBA and the NFL combined. Internet pornography. And how many men, how many of us do you know that are fighting for an end of internet pornography? Or do we as men say, I can't do anything about it? And yet the degradation and the use and the abuse of women goes on and on. As the largest entertainment in our country, and we sit in silence, just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, when Eve went to the tree to get the fruit, He sat there in silence and watched her. We don't do anything. TV show after TV show, commercial after commercial, and we as men sit and we laugh, we chuckle, or we sit in silence at the degradation of women. Here at St. James, our policy is knees and sleeves. And where are the fathers of the world fighting that the beauty of their daughter's body be cherished? And do the mothers support their fathers, or the fathers, when they do stand up and say this? And you know, we don't clothe a woman's body because it's bad or ugly. We clothe a woman's body because it's beautiful, it's holy, and it's a gift for one person, not for all to see. A woman's body is something to be cherished by the man she gives herself to, not to be paraded around for all men to cast their eyes upon because she's good and she's worth it. The duty of every man is the dignity of every woman. You see, it's through Mary and with Mary that we come to understand the dignity of woman. And today, as we reflect on the beauty and the dignity of Mary, may we also reflect upon the beauty and the dignity of every single woman made in God's image and likeness, and that we, male and female, reclaim that dignity, that beauty, that gift of femininity today and always.